Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 4. And this chapter has to do with the duties of the, what, Kohath?
Kohathite clan.
The Kohathite clan. The Kohathite clan is part of the Levites. And the Levites, within the Levite tribes, there is, or clans, there is Aaron and his sons. These are the ones that are priests, but the other, the Levites, all these are symbolic of the church or the body of Christ in the, for the New Testament. And so the Lord calls us out of the world, just as he called the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he didn't call them out of Egypt or us out of the world to just sit by idle. He calls us out to serve the Lord. And so there are duties of this tribe, and there's duties of this priesthood, this nation of priests that we have become, that God has made us. And, you know, we could just keep going over and over in every message how that every person in the Kohath tribe had different duties, and all the different people within the Levites, the tribe of Levi, had different duties that they had to do. And this was just one of the clans of the Levites, as the Kohath clan. And so we'll just ask the Lord to anoint this message. And so many people today are just saying, well, you know, we're saved. Well, so were the children of Israel saved. They were delivered from the out of wicked, the devils, the devil, which is symbolized by Egypt. And we're also saved from the Satan's prison house, the world, and to come into the glorious new realm of the spiritual kingdom of heaven. But there's duties for us to do, and that's where these false prophets keep telling people, no, the Lord has saved you, and now you don't have to do anything the Lord does at all. And people just hear that so much. The ionic pentameter of it, the constant dripping, dropping, the constant false doctrine that just keeps coming out of all the churches, these false prophets in this these last days, is just so overwhelming that a lot of people are sucked into it. But, you know, the Lord tells you that he doesn't want you to get sucked into it, and that's why he tells us to read his word and learn what our duties really are, and that everyone has a duty. The Lord says that we're going to be judged by the works that we do in this body. And this is the same, I keep saying it over and over again too. We're living in the body, and God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in our spirit inside this body. And this body is the very same body that we lived in when we were sinning out in the world. And the Lord has quickened our spirits, or has brought his life-giving spirit into us, so that we have been, our spirit has come to life now. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, now we've come to life. But we're still alive in this body that we sinned in. And so we have to, the Lord's instructions, the Word of God says we have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. We have to make ourselves do what the Lord says. And sometimes people get so weary of doing, but the Bible says, weary not in well-doing. Do not weary in well-doing. Amen?
Amen.
Take up the cross, and it's an ionic pentameter. It's like a constant thing. We have to not every day take up the cross, every day deny ourselves, every day just continue on in the Lord. Every day keep our body under subjection to the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and make our bodies do. Our spirit and the Spirit of God within us now has made us so powerful inside that it's easy for us to, if we will, if it's our will, to keep our body under subjection, because that's the will of the Lord. So the Lord's will is to be our will. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of the Father. And so, but the Lord gives us a free will. We can choose to do the will of the Father so that our souls will be saved, or we can just choose to serve ourselves, serve the desires, the lusts of our bodies, and to be involved with the lusts of the world, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things. But the Lord said, if you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, then there's work to do. One of the biggest works is to keep your body under subjection to the Holy Spirit, to discipline it, to be disciplined to the Holy Spirit, to just obey the things that the Lord says. So we read in the Bible what the duties of the people of the Lord are. We have to study to make ourselves approved. That's work. We have to keep our body under subjection to the Holy Spirit. We have to deny ourselves. That's work. We have to take up the cross and follow the Lord. That's work. These are the works of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And then we also have to learn how to deal, to walk in the Spirit, so that when somebody confronts us with some kind of an excuse to serve Satan or to serve ourselves, we have to show them why we do not go along with that worldly type of thinking. We have to be well armed and armored with the Word of God to show them that that doesn't pay, because the soul, that the wages of sin is death, eternal death, and the soul that sins shall die, and he that sinneth is of the devil. And you have to just keep reminding your body these things, because your body really is prone to go back to the things that it loves to do. The body loves to be pampered. The body loves to be to do what it wants to do. And there's a constant battle between the spirit and the body, the flesh, the Spirit of God in your flesh. But we must let the Lord prevail over our flesh if we are to enter the kingdom of God. Then the devil comes and says, there is no kingdom of God. Thou shalt not surely die. God's not going to send people to hell for just, you know, doing what you want to do. This is common, just nature. The Lord wants you to have fun. And God loves you unconditionally. Well, that isn't true. The Lord wants you to deny yourself. That isn't fun, is it?
No.
He wants you to take up a cross, your own personal cross, and follow him. He was a man of sorrow, amen?
In
grief. Because he lived in the same kind of human flesh that we did, although he never sinned in it, but still he was tempted just as we are, the Bible says. And so he had to perform all the duties of the Lord in order for his blood to be strong enough detergent to take away the sins of the world, and for him to be a good enough testimony for us to follow. He had to be our example. And so he never weakened once, not even once. And that made him the most powerful man in the world. Now, people like Bill Clinton, who is full of lust, and he's one of the biggest liars in the world, and so are all the presidents. They'll make fun of you, and they say they're making fun of you. And in his new book, he said he makes fun of me. Well, but doesn't that poor creature know that the whole world is making fun of him and thumbing their nose at him? Because they know him to be the biggest liar in the world. And of course, scum wants to bring everybody, even godly people, down to their own level. Everything he said about me in his book and my wife Susie was absolutely false. Everything. And, but, you know, I guess he just wanted to pick on somebody that he knew was doing a good work for the Lord, because I know that people all over the world are saying that we're doing a great work. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to pray for this poor creature, because really, I'm sincere, I would love to see him saved. Amen?
Amen.
But everybody, they just stared in everybody's face and told the biggest bald-faced lies to the people in the United States and all over the world. And everybody's laughing at him. And so there was a newspaper in Nashville stating that Bill Clinton made fun. He kind of exalted Susan Alamo, but he made fun of Tony Alamo. Well, isn't that something? Bill Clinton, the world's most renowned liar and womanizer, and the one that people are making more fun of than anybody else in the world, and at least a laughing stock, and he hasn't got enough dignity to just hide himself. He just keeps coming out and blabbing his mouth, you know. But anyway, he needs to know that, of course, he wants people to think that there's somebody lower than him. But, you know, if we're preaching the gospel and we're not lying about, different people say they're born-again Christians and then they wind up touring the world with the Pope. We don't do things like that. We don't stand up there and tell people that we're not doing this or we're not doing that, and then we're doing it, because we'd wind up in the same hell as the devil is in. So we see that no liar shall enter the kingdom of God. We see that no fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God. So what are our accusers? They're people that are already condemned. Amen?
Amen.
But perhaps he's never been saved before. And if Lord God, in the name of Jesus, save his soul. And then I'm sure if he got saved, he'd tell the truth of what really happened in all these different things. But he likes to make it look that our church was a big promotion by me. He wanted me to take the glory for this worldwide revival that came from our church. He said that I promoted Susie. That isn't true. God promoted both Susie and myself. Amen?
Amen.
So he's telling a lie against God. God raised Sue and myself up, and he says that I promoted Sue. That's a big lie, because I didn't know anything about how to promote anybody in the gospel field. And I still don't promote people. All I do is we promote Jesus. And I put Susie on television because she preached the gospel better than anybody that I've ever known in my life. And still to this day, she makes all the evangelists that I have ever seen look sick. Amen?
Amen.
And it wasn't because I wanted to promote her, because I didn't promote her. The people just believed our message, and I wanted the whole world to hear about Jesus, and she said it better than anybody else. So if that's promoting Susie, that's crazy. And then he said, well, my product is gone. In other words, I didn't like the idea of him to compare Susie as a product, you know, the thing that I promoted. That's really sick. Because Susie was saved years before I was. But I'm still promoting the same Jesus, amen, even though Susie is gone. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just don't want people to think that, and I would think that when they heard Bill Clinton just say on the television, you know, that he never had anything to do with it, and then a week later say that he did. I mean, I'm just hoping and praying that they don't believe him on the things that he's saying about our church and Sue and myself. We've never asked for money on television. I own a Beatles album. If he thinks that I wanted to promote something and to make money with, we never made a dime on television. We took the money that we earned and put it into television. If that isn't, we're to promote Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if I wanted to earn money, I could have sold my Beatles album, which I never have. All these years, and I hear it's worth an awful lot of money. It's unreleased. It was given to me by Pete Best of the Beatles. But anyway, you know, we're not to be upset with things like this. I'm not really upset. I just want to straighten the thinking of everybody, because, after all, this was a former president of the United States. And even though he has proven himself to be one of the biggest liars in the world and one of the biggest murderers for murdering the people and saying that he takes full responsibility at Waco, and even though he was, I've heard all kinds of things, I don't know it to be true, but I know that he's just making up stuff, making up things about us. I've heard that he murdered people and that he, you know, anyone that gets in his way and things like that. I don't know that to be true, but I certainly wouldn't write about it if I thought that he did. But I have found out down through the years that he's lied, and that a lot of people say he brought drugs into the country. And, you know, people want to believe him over me. Well, go ahead. But the Bible says you're supposed to believe the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Believe the truth, and that's all we're doing is preaching the gospel. I'm not trying to defend myself, but this is the church of the Lord, and I'm called to defend that in God's word. This was no Tony Alamo promotion. All right? were all over the world, and it was certainly not by my doing. I just did what the Lord said to do. So, if people see these things in Mr. Clinton's book and they want to believe them, well, that's up to you. Because it's obvious that they've believed a lot of things that the press has been saying down through the years. And to their own damnation. That's what Satan wants, is for people to not believe the truth. And so your duty is to reject the lies and believe the truth. Now, if I was preaching Susie or myself, or I had promoted Susie, rather than just put her on television and to let her promote the Lord, and if that's what I've been doing, you know, if we're not promoting the Lord, then how can we have so many hundreds and hundreds of churches all over the world? And if Mr. Clinton wants to make fun of that, well, it's for sure. I don't think that I want to make fun of Mr. Clinton, because I don't believe murdering those people that he said that he took full responsibility for at Waco. I don't think that's funny. And I don't think bringing drugs into the country, if he did it, is funny. And I don't think him selling his souls by going out with hundreds of women and recruiting his lieutenants to find women for him, I don't think that's funny either. And I don't really think it's funny that he's lying about the strongest soul-winning church in the world. And that's the Alamo Ministries. I don't think Mr. Clinton is funny at all, so I'm not making fun of him. What I'm trying to do is to just put him under, tell him the truth so that he'll believe the gospel. I wouldn't do the things that I'm doing today for all the money in the world. And for love nor money. Because I know how to make money other ways. And we're not in this to make money. You never see us hustling money on television or in my literature at all. And that right there should prove that we're the truth. And Mr. Clinton is just, you know, seems to be hustling money from his book. I haven't read it, and I don't intend to. I really don't want to read. I don't have time to. I'm too busy reading the Bible. So that's the thing that we're supposed to do, is to study the Word. And we're to defend the gospel. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay, we're defending the church of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not on the attack. I'm on the, we're in defense of the gospel. Somebody attacks us by kind of putting up some bunch of lies, saying that we had a farm and that we grew vegetables and brought a truckload out here each week. It's amazing that he's not embarrassed, because all the people in our church know that that isn't true. We never ever had a farm where we grew vegetables and fruit like that and brought it out from California to Arkansas. And he said that he was at the restaurant with his wife. He was not there with his wife unless she was out in the car sleeping. What's her name?
Hillary.
Yeah, I don't think Hillary was sitting out in the car waiting for him to see Dolly Parton. All right, he was there by himself, and he asked me if I'd introduce him to Dolly Parton. Had I known then what I know now about his love life, I wouldn't have, because Dolly's a friend of mine, or at least I thought she was. I would have never taken him back there, because, you know, God only knows what he would do. Okay, but I know that nothing transpired, at least while he was in our restaurant, in the banquet room where she was appearing. Okay, and so now we're back here in the Numbers, the fourth chapter. I just have to get that in so that you people know how to answer people when they're out on the streets, when they bring these false accusations. All you people in this church know that I didn't do a promotion for Susie. Susie was the one that was teaching me the gospel and everything. And she was the one that would rebuke me all the time. And we never, never, ever made any money in the gospel field. We've never made anything in the gospel field. Anything that we got was given to us by the Lord. We've never hustled money from old ladies, widow women, like you hear all these false prophets doing. They go to the unsaved to support a church, supposedly a church. But we don't do that. We don't believe that that will win people's souls. So what we do is just we earn our money. And if, you know, Bill Clinton or anybody else wants to make fun of us for that, well, then go on, you know, go ahead and mock on just like they did our Savior. Because, you know, we're willing to take it. We don't cry vengeance, you know, or take vengeance ourselves. Our Father in the kingdom of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, will take vengeance on you if you don't repent. All of you who like to make fun of God and His people and His word, and to ban His word from schools and even His name from all over the place, everywhere in the world. How long do you think God is going to put up with you demons? Not long, I can assure you of that. All right, so here are the duties of the Kohathites, all right? So let's begin, Father, by anointing this chapter. And make it alive in each soul so that we can parallel that we're to keep the commandments of the Lord. There isn't much that we can say. We just, Lord, we have to take all these abuses in this world. But we ask that you avenge us. Do something, Father, that will make this man confess all of his lies. And really, I think already everybody knows that he's a liar. But Lord, I want the people to know that that I'm telling the truth and he's a liar. If people want to believe him rather than me, well, that's their own choice. And Lord, let everyone be obedient to the knowledge that we've been called to serve you, to work. That's work to do. And he says, work while it's still day, because the night is coming where none of us will be able to work. Father, so we must learn the armor and the arms of the Lord, the Spirit, so that we can begin working skillfully soon, now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Numbers chapter 4, the duties of the Kohathite clan, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 2, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers.
Well, now, that was work to do in itself, to just separate people and do all these things that they're doing. Then, go ahead.
Verse 3, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 4.
It says to do the work. Read that again. To do the what?
To do the work.
Work. Amen?
Amen.
So he saved them from Egypt to work. Amen?
Amen.
And that he saved us from the world to do his work. Amen?
Amen.
And so few people are really doing his work. They're just hustling money, saying, you know, send money to me and God will save your soul. And he'll give you a car and, you know, send your kids to college, universities where they're going to teach them to be antichrist. Isn't that wonderful, you bunch of antichrist satanic preachers out there, that you're just leading everybody astray like that? Then go ahead.
Verse 4, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, about the most holy things. Verse 5, and when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil.
See, they have to work. They have to take down the covering veil. That's something to do, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, that's a work. And then what else?
And cover the ark of testimony with it.
They have to cover it. That's another job. Okay, then what else?
Verse 6, and shall put thereon the covering of badger's skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof.
Gosh, we got to remember not to put any other color, the blue one on there, okay? And do what with the staves?
Put in the staves thereof.
Yeah, so that's work too, to put in the staves, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Then what?
Verse 7, and upon the table of showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes, and the spoons, and the bowls, and covers to cover withal.
See, that's like work, isn't it?
Yes.
At least people in restaurants, when they put tablecloths on, and knives, forks, and spoons, and all these different things, they get paid for that because it's work, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, so God calls us to work, doesn't he?
Yes.
Right, then what else?
And the continual bread shall be thereon.
These are the duties of the Kohathites. Amen?
Amen.
And the bread, you got to put the bread on the table too. Then what else?
Verse 8. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof.
Okay, so that's all got to be done. So work, 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 work. Okay, then what else?
Verse 9. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlestick of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof, with wherewith they minister unto it.
They say this is Old Testament, but read all the things that you have to do in the New Testament, too. You have to learn the Word, study to be approved, and God sets all kinds of people over to you to make sure that you get edified enough to do it. You have to go to church. You have to deny yourself. You have to pick up the cross and follow the Lord. You have to fight Satan, the good fight of faith. And so don't say that, you know, you're a liar if you're saying things like that. And anyone that's telling you that is a dirty liar. Then what else?
Verse 10, and they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins, and shall put it upon a bar. Verse 11, and upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue, and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and shall put to the staves thereof.
That's work. Amen.
Amen.
And then what else?
Verse 12, and they shall take all the instruments of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger's skins, and shall put them on a bar.
Okay, this is when they're taken off to go someplace else. Amen?
Amen.
What they're gonna, and somebody's got to carry it. That's work too, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Verse 13, and they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon.
And you people out like there would like to take ashes out and empty them? Would you consider that work?
Yes.
Wouldn't you have to be paid to do that?
Yes.
Yes, you would. So that's work. Okay, and you have to work. You have to keep up a good appearance. You can't look like a slob or a bum. Okay, then what else?
Verse 14, and they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar, and they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put to the staves of it.
And they even have to kill the different sacrifices and blood, put the blood in the basins and do all sorts of things. They have to dress a certain way, and you have to, they have to wash and put the clothing on just so. And they have to minister just so. And they have to go and put blood on the horns of the altar, on people's earlobes, right thumb, right toe. And there's hundreds of things that they got to do. Okay, then what?
Verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it.
So here's Aaron and his sons do all this former work, and then here comes the other people from the tribe of Levi to come and carry all this stuff that they lugged up on poles and everything like that, because they're the, if you want to call it, donkey labor. Amen?
Amen.
That's labor. It's work. Okay, then what?
But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die.
No, that's why they have to carry it by the poles. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, and to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof.
Now who has to do that?
The Eleazar.
Yeah, the priest. He's the high priest now. Aaron's dead. Okay, then what? Or Aaron has to die. Then what else?
Verse 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying,
so that Aaron is going to die later on, just before they go into the promised land. Okay, then what?
Verse 18.
I'm way ahead of you. I'm almost, I've only got two more chapters of this book to do before I get into Deuteronomy, so I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Okay, then what?
Verse 18. Cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites. Translation, verse 1 through 18. The duties of the Kohathite clan. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 2, quote, take a census of the clans and families of the Kohathite division of the Levite tribe. Verse 3. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who qualify to work in the tabernacle. Verse 4. The duties of the Kohathites at the tabernacle will relate to the most sacred objects. Verse 5.
Yeah, they're not allowed to touch them, but it relates to them. Okay, then what else?
When the camp moves, Aaron and his sons must enter the tabernacle first.
This is Aaron and his sons, not the Kohathites. They go in there first and start packing stuff up. And then what?
To take down the inner curtain and cover the Ark of the Covenant with it. Verse 6. Then they must cover the inner curtain with fine goatskin leather, and the goatskin leather with a dark blue cloth. Finally, they must put the carrying poles of the Ark in place. Verse 7. Next, they must spread a blue cloth over the table where the bread of the presence is displayed, and place the dishes, spoons, bowls, cups, and special bread on the cloth. Verse 8. They must spread a scarlet cloth over that, and finally a covering of fine goatskin leather on top of the scarlet cloth. Then they must insert the carrying poles into the table. Verse 9. Next, they must cover the lampstand with a dark blue cloth, along with its lamps, lamp snuffers, trays, and special jars for olive oil. Verse 10. The lampstand with its utensils must then be covered with fine goatskin leather.
This is Aaron and his sons doing all this. Nobody else. The Kohathites are not allowed to touch all this stuff. And what else?
And the bundle must be placed on a carrying frame. Verse 11. Aaron and his sons must also spread a dark blue cloth over the gold altar, and cover this cloth with a covering of fine goatskin leather. Then they are to attach the carrying poles to the altar. Verse 12. All the remaining utensils of the sanctuary must be wrapped in a dark blue cloth, covered with fine goatskin leather, and placed on the carrying frame. Verse 13. The ashes must be removed from the altar, and the altar must then be covered with a purple cloth. Verse 14. All the altar utensils with firebrands, hooks, shovels, bases, and all the containers are to be placed on the cloth, and a covering of fine goatskin leather must be spread over them. Finally, the carrying poles must be put in place. Verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the sacred utensils, the Kohathites will come and carry these things to the next destination.
Right. So see, the Kohathites don't enter in. They don't touch any of this stuff. All they do is come in and grab the poles and carry it. Amen? The donkey labor. Okay, then what else?
But they must not touch the sacred objects.
There you go. Okay, then what else?
Or they will die.
Or they're going to keel over dead. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Do I have a perfect understanding of the Word of God?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so people want to make fun of that, I guess, huh? Especially Mr. Clinton, of all people. My God, you'd think he'd hide his head in shame. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
So these are the objects of the tabernacle that the Kohathites must carry. Verse 16. Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, will be responsible for the oil, the lampstand, the fragrant incense, the daily grain offering, and the anointing oil. In fact, the supervision of the entire tabernacle and everything in it will be Eleazar's responsibility.
That's the high priest's responsibility. He can touch all these things, but not the Kohathites, even though they be Levites. Then what else?
Verse 17. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 18, quote, don't let the Kohathite clans be destroyed from among the Levites! Exclamation mark.
Yeah. Warn them, you know, don't let them touch this stuff, because they'll be totally destroyed if they mess around or they touch it. So people think that you really hate them when you're warning them of the wrath of God, and all you're trying to do is stop them from being destroyed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some people are really crazy. They hate you for trying to prevent them from being destroyed. Okay, then what?
Verse 19, King James Version. But thus do unto them, that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. Verse 20. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die.
So just warned them. Then what else?
Verse 21, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 22, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the house of their fathers by their families. Verse 23, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation.
This is all the tribe of Levites, but only Aaron and his sons can touch and see these holy things like that. And then what else?
Verse 24. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, to serve and for burdens.
Okay, they're burden bearers, okay? They're gonna lug this stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 25. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering and the covering of the badger's skins that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 26. And the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. Verse 27. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites, in all their burdens and in all their service, and ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens.
Is lugging all this stuff work?
Yes.
So God called them out of Egypt to work. Amen?
Amen.
Not to just lounge around like false Christians do, or people that are not mature in the Lord do. People have to wake up and get zealous for the Lord and start working. Okay? Because we're going to be judged by the works that we did or the works that we didn't do in this human body that must be kept under subjection to the word of the Lord, to the Spirit of God. Then go ahead.
Verse 28. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon.
A lot of people think you just pray somebody through. They say, oh Lord God, save my soul. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and wash all my sins away and all that. And they think that's it. No, if you're doing that, realize, count the cost. Realize that you're coming into the work of the Lord to do a work for God. Just saying those words is no more than a poem or a rhyme. And what do you why do you think that would merit salvation, just to say a few words and then just take off and do your own thing some more? That does not merit salvation at all. Because the Lord knows even the intentions of your heart. And if you're not intending to come into the house of the Lord to do a work for God and to serve Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then, and also to prefer others before yourself, you're not saved. Okay, because if you don't do these things, you're going to die and go to hell in the lake of fire anyway. You're just trying to deceive. You're deceiving yourself, deceiving others, and deceiving yourself by telling people that you're Christians. Then what else?
Verse 28. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation. And their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. Verse 29.
So even the priest, the son of another priest, the son of the family of the priest, has to watch over that too. Okay? They have the preeminence. It's not a democracy or a republic. It's like a dictatorship. We have to do as God dictates. Then what?
Verse 29. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers. Verse 30. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them, every one that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation.
To do the work, right?
Right.
Not to have the fun, like some of these fun. For God called us to have fun, amen?
Amen.
And that He's going to love us unconditionally, whether we work or not.
Amen.
You know, come on, let's see the false prophets for what they really are, amen?
Amen.
Okay, now translation.
Translation, verse 19 through 30. This is what you must do so they will live and not die when they approach the most sacred objects. Aaron and his sons must always go in with them, and assign a specific duty or load to each person.
Yeah, they don't just let those people go in there by themselves and just mess around in there. They have to go in there and oversee it. Right, while they're standing there. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. Otherwise, they must not approach the sanctuary and look at the sacred objects for even a moment, or they will die. The duties of the Gershonite clan. Verse 21. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 22, quote, take a census of the clans and families of the Gershonite division of the tribe of Levi. Verse 23. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who are eligible to serve in the tabernacle. Verse 24. The duties of the Gershonites will be in the areas of general service and carrying loads.
That's what their duties are. They got to work. They got to pick this all this stuff up and carry it to the next location. Okay, then what else?
Verse 25. They must.
When God called them out of Egypt, it's better than making bricks. Amen?
Amen.
There's a reward for serving the Lord, but there was no reward for serving the Egyptians. Okay, then what else?
They must carry the curtains of the tabernacle itself with its coverings, the outer covering with fine goatskin leather, and the curtain for the tabernacle entrance. Verse 26. They are also to carry the curtains for the courtyard walls that surround the tabernacle and altar, the curtain across the courtyard entrance, the necessary cords, and all the altar's accessories. The Gershonites are responsible for transporting all these items.
Transporting things, that's something. Cab drivers get money for transporting people back and forth, isn't it?
Yes.
This is harder than being a cab driver. You know, this is, you got to carry it with your hands. Amen?
Amen.
Each person grab onto a pole and let's, you know, get moving. Then what else?
Verse 27. Aaron and his sons were to direct the Gershonites regarding the duties, whether it involves moving or doing other work. They must assign the Gershonites the loads they are to carry. Verse 28. So these are the duties assigned to the Gershonites at the tabernacle. They will be directly responsible to Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. The duties of the Merarite clan. Verse 29. Now take a census of the clans and families of the Merarite division of the Levite tribe. Verse 30. Count all the men between the ages of 30 and 50 who are eligible to serve in the tabernacle. King James Version, verse 31. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation.
Their burden to their work. Amen?
Amen.
And just, they weren't just like wandering through the desert, you know, and looking at the cactus. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else? They even had to pick up the bread off the ground, right?
Right.
Then they even had to chew it. Okay, some people are too lazy to even chew their food or to bring the fork up to their mouth to put it in their mouth. That's getting pretty lazy, but I've seen it. Then what else?
The boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and sockets thereof.
That's their charge. Go ahead.
Verse 32, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and with all their service, and by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden.
So this is a different clan of the tribe of Levi, and they have to carry stuff too. Amen?
Amen.
Certain parts of the tent and all that. Then go ahead.
Verse 33. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now, they weren't to just go in to the tabernacle and just, you guys do haul this and I'll haul this. No, the priests were there and they told them what to haul and what they couldn't haul. Amen?
Amen.
Each one had a specific job of what to carry so there was no confusion or no one could say, oh, gosh, I forgot, or I don't remember. If you forget things very easily that you're supposed to do in the Lord, that means that you don't have enough fear of the Lord to care as to whether you forget it or don't forget it. And so you need to pray for fear of the Lord. You don't have fear of hell. You don't believe the Word of God that there is a hell. You don't believe that there's a lake of fire. But that's what I know, that a lot of people don't believe that, because when I saw or heard this vision of hell and saw the flicker of it on a brick wall, it was a dark black and purple brick wall, and I heard those people saying, oh my God, it is true. Those people were telling, you know, it's like they it surprised them that it was really true. that all this talk that we were saying about hell and the lake of fire, oh God, we just heard that over and over. But my God, when they're there, they wish they would have listened. They wish they would have paid attention. That's the kind of feeling I got, and you could feel their torment and their utter shock. It wasn't surprise, it was just shock. Because it's really there. And they were in it, and they know they're not coming out. That's the thing I got most out of that when I heard their voices. This, oh God, oh my God, it's real. And we are not getting out. Okay, then what?
This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar the son of Aaron the priest. Verse 34. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families and after the house of their fathers. Verse 35. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 36. And those that were numbered of them by their families were 2,750.
There's a lot of people involved here that have to carry this tent and break it down and build it back up. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 37. These were they that were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to their command, to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Verse 38. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers. Verse 39. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, every one that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation.
For the work, W-O-R-K. So don't let anybody tell you you're not supposed to work. Then what else?
Verse 40. Even those that were numbered of them throughout their families by the house of their fathers were 2,630. Verse 41. These are they that were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of the Lord. Verse 42. And those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families by the house of their fathers. Verse 43. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 44. Even those that were numbered of them after their families were 3,200. Verse 45. These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Verse 46. All those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered after their families and after the house of their fathers. Verse 47. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation. Translation, verse 31 through 47. Their duties of the tabernacle will consist of carrying loads. They will be required to carry the frames of the tabernacle, the crossbars, the pillars with their bases, verse 32, the posts for the courtyard walls with their bases, pegs, cords, accessories, and everything else related to their use. You must assign the various loads to each man by name. Verse 33. So these are the duties of the Merarites at the tabernacle. They are directly responsible to Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. The census of the Levites. Verse 34. So Moses, Aaron, and the other leaders of the community counted the Kohathite division by its clans and families. Verse 35. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle. Verse 36. And the total number came to 2,750. Verse 37. So this was the total of all those from the Kohathite clans who were eligible to serve at the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron counted them just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. Verse 38. The Gershonite division was also counted by its clans and families. Verse 39. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle. Verse 40. And the total number came to 2,630. Verse 41. So this was the total of all those from the Gershonite clans who were eligible to serve at the tabernacle. Moses and Aaron counted them just as the Lord had commanded. Verse 42. The Merarite division was also counted by its clans and families. Verse 43. The count included all the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle. Verse 44. And the total number came to 3,200. Verse 45. So this was the total of all those from the Merarite clans who were eligible for service. Moses and Aaron counted them just as the Lord had commanded through Moses.
See, there were thousands of people that carried the tabernacle and all that, so the loads were not, hopefully not that heavy. All right? So thousands of people carrying something. Okay, then what else?
Verse 46. So Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel counted all the Levites by their clans and families. Verse 47. All the men between 30 and 50 years of age who were eligible for service in the tabernacle and for its transportation. King James Version, verse 48. Even those that were numbered of them were 8,504. Verse 49. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses. Translation, verse 48 and 49. Numbered 8,580. Verse 49. Each man was assigned his task and told what to carry, just as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And so the census was completed, just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
All right, that's all the verses in chapter 4 of Numbers, and now we have some commentary.
4, verse 1 through 49. This chapter details a census of the Levites between the ages of 30 and 50 for the work of the tabernacle. The duties of the Kohathites focus on the most holy things, specified special holy objects within the tabernacle. Verse 4. The Gershonites and the Merarites deal with the coverings and the structural pieces of the tabernacle. Verses 4 through 20. Service of the Sons of Kohath. The majority of instructions deal with the preparation by Aaron and his descendants of the implements for transport by the Kohathites. All the items are covered and either have poles inserted into rings on the implement or are placed on a carrying beam by Aaron and his sons, so that the Kohathites have no need to touch the holy things. 4, verse 21 through 28. The service of the families of the sons of Gershon. The external coverings are all handled by these under the authority of Ithamar, the son of Aaron. 4, verse 29 through 33. Service of the families of the sons of Merari. Their duties related to the structural pieces of the sanctuary and are also supervised by Ithamar, the son of Aaron. 4, verse 34 through 49. The results of the census are revealed. The revelation of it is that this helped to reiterate the importance of the Levitical ministry and establish who is truly a part of this line and who is not.
So if the Levitical priesthood was something that you don't mess with, it's for sure that the ministry of the priesthood in these last days in the New Testament is even more so. Because the Lord has made us a royal priesthood, a nation of priests, and the duties that we are called to do must be done with as much exactness, even, I would say, more so than in the Old Testament. And if you didn't do what it was said in the Old Testament, it was death, and how much more so in the New. This is what the New Testament says. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then go ahead.
3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 49. This detailed organization of the Levites and priests illustrates the principle that God's calling is accompanied by responsibility and accountability. I said this in the last message. Out of Israel, God sovereignly chose one tribe, Levi, and out of that tribe, he chose specific families or clans to lead Israel in worship. With great privilege comes great responsibility. When God places us in a position of influence, we must not take it lightly. We need to recognize our responsibility to obey God and remember our accountability before Him. 4 verse 5, Ark of the Covenant or Ark of the Testimony.
All right, praise the Lord. That was all the verses and also the commentary from Numbers chapter 4, and we'll be doing chapter 5 later this evening. Till then, keep looking up. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Meditate. Think about the Lord and His Word and our duties, our responsibilities, and how we're going to be accountable. Think about that today. You don't have to think about it in the future because we just have to stand today. When tomorrow comes, that'll be today, and we just have to stand that day. Amen?
Amen.
So don't think of so far ahead in the future, because you don't know that you're even going to be here for the rest of the night. Amen?
Amen.
So if you stand today and the Lord takes you this evening, you're in the kingdom of heaven, a far better place, and all this work will be over with. Because while we're here on earth, we work. But when we're in the kingdom of heaven, it's all just play. Amen?
Amen.
It's wonderful. Relaxation. You just kick back and relax for eternity. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord lays away for those of us who love Him and keep His commandments. We can go to any spot in the universe. Just we can think ourselves there. Amen?
Amen.
I just think, I want to think myself to Mars. I want to see what it's all about. It doesn't cost a thing for the space effort over there. Amen?
Amen.
Or there are other galaxies that the people on this earth don't even know anything about. And, you know, just float around and be nice. Amen?
Amen.
And then also we have charge of the kingdom of heaven as well. So, God bless you. Praise the Lord. And amen.